Romans chapter number 2. Appreciate Brother Dan letting me kind of preach a little patch. I like to preach a little patch every now and then. I kind of like it. So I hope you kind of like it a little bit too. Appreciate the Lord and His opportunities. But I got something on my heart, and it's a little bit tied to when I preached the other evening. Romans chapter number 2. We're going to read a few scripture here in Romans chapter number 2. Talk about a few things. two or three different things. I got a few things I kind of want to get out. And what I do, and I'm off a badge when I preach. I'm aiming somewhere. I'm not one of these general throw it out there. I'm trying to aim somewhere because that's what I need. I need aimed at. A lot of times when I get preached to and even studying the Word of God, I like to get it aimed right directly at me because I really need it. We're going to read down through verse 4. Kind of go from there. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, or forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Now, the main thing I want to look at there is not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. A couple of things I want us to kind of understand. He's talking to the Romans here. Now, they were a bunch of Jews that had boasted up in pride. They had a lot of pride about it. And they really thought they were something. So they were judging and running down the Gentiles. Well, chapter 1 of Romans talks about the Gentile nation, about our nature and who we really are. And we've probably all read Romans chapter 1. We can kind of get an idea of what's going on in Romans chapter 1. It talks about who we really are a lot. But he's talking about to the Jews here, and he's actually trying to tell them, you judge this crowd, but when, in all actuality, you're just the same or worse. And we're going to break this down just a little bit. But I want us to look at kind of a pattern that he's got here. A pattern about winning souls. A pattern of reaching the lost. Because that's been on my heart for several months. Reaching the lost. And it's still on my heart. It really is. Because I see so much. And it bothers me at the lack of soul winning that's going on. Honestly. Honestly, it really is. It really bothers me and concerns me. Because we can all do better. I can do better. We can all do better when it comes to winning a loss. Because if we're not winning a loss, we're just playing. But I want us to understand a couple of things before we get started here. 99% of our time, if we're winning a loss, 99% of the time, it's to sowing seed. Honestly, we're handing out tracts. We're talking to somebody about the Lord. We're living for the Lord. We're going to church. 99% of the time, we're going to be planting seeds. Now listen. When God does give us a little bit, that 1%, now I just made those percentages up because and I'm probably not too far off. That 1% that God allows me and you, by His grace and His mercy, to stand before a sinner that's lost without God and allows us to break open the Word of God in their lives after God the Holy Ghost has been working on them, and somebody's already planted some seed. The Word of God has already penetrated their heart. And we get a little bit of window. Now listen to me. We get a little bitty window. A little bitty window. To talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And about their sins. And about things that are going on. And listen real close to what I'm fixing to tell you. We don't need to be timid. You hear me? We need to get it right. It's what I'm saying. We got to get it right. Honestly, there's a little window there. We don't know how long it may be. I was telling Brother Matt, the older I get, the more I don't know. As far as God's concerned. He keeps getting bigger and bigger. Somehow He keeps putting up with me. I don't understand it. But I want to get a hold of a few things here and understand some things. Time I'm through here this evening. I hope and pray to God you understand a little bit more about salvation, a little bit more about what we need to do and what we need to recognize as God's people. I'm already getting hot up here, so just hang on. Amen. I have to turn my collar down just a little bit here. I get kind of hot. But we're going to look at two or three different things. And I want you to notice this pattern. And remember this if you can. In verse 1, he's talking a little bit. He says, you're inexcusable. He tells the Romans, you're inexcusable. You're judging this crowd and doing this. Of course, they've had the Word of God, and they've turned to traditions. They've turned away from the Word of God down through the generations. That's why they got such a big fix as they did. He says, you're inexcusable. No different than anybody else. We're all inexcusable as far as God's Word is concerned in our righteousness. We don't have any. But he's telling the Jews, you're inexcusable. Now, remember this pattern, because honestly, as far as salvation goes, this pattern's the same throughout all Scripture. Because, listen, no flesh will stand before God. None whatsoever. None. No flesh. So we're all inexcusable. There's no doubt about that. The second thing in verse 2, he talks about truth. He said there'll be judgment according to truth. And I'm telling you, no salvation is going to come to any man without there be some truth of the Word of God. Now listen, please, if you would, try your best to pay attention. Because I am heading somewhere, believe it or not. I'm trying to get somewhere. I got several quotes of some old-time preachers and evangelists that I want to get a hold of and realize what they're saying. The third thing he talks about, of course, he's not going to escape the judgment of God, which is true. I mean, we're inexcusable. We got to have the truth of the Word of God, no doubt about that, to show us our sins, because there's judgment that's going to come. No doubt, but then in verse 4, he talks a little bit about the goodness of God leading to repentance. And you think about that. You tell a lost man, well, the goodness of God will lead us to repentance. They're going to look at you like, what the world is going on with you? Because listen here, we've got a misconception about the goodness of God. We compare His love and His goodness to ours. Now, I love my wife and my daughter. I love y'all. But there's a different love that God's got. His is unconditional. I'm not saying my love for my wife's not unconditional. I'm not saying that. So don't run down that road. Amen. But what I'm saying is we got to understand the goodness of God is about His righteousness and His justice and His Word. So if you'll notice, that pattern is going to run all the way through. Okay. There's a well-known preacher here, and I want you to listen real close to what he says. He said, God's grace cannot be faithfully preached to unbelievers. God's grace cannot be faithfully preached to unbelievers. Until the law is preached and the man's corrupt nature is exposed, it is impossible for a person to fully realize his need for God's grace until he sees how terrible he has failed the standards of God's law. Did everybody kind of understand what he's saying? Because honestly, we're inexcusable. There's truth there, and there's judgment, and there's the goodness of God. It's a pattern throughout all the Scripture. Amen. We've got to understand that. And that's why it's so important for us, because I've heard it so many times. I've seen people talk to people about the Lord, and they'll just struggle. Like if I was trying to talk to Matt about the Lord and about, I mean, I've seen so many people just go down so many avenues and not really get to the heart of the matter because they're afraid of offending. We don't want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt Matt, you know, but I could be talking to him about the Lord and things like that, and he could be giving me all kind of excuses, and you know how it is. They're running down this road to try to derail you, or running down that road to try to derail you, to try to avoid the truth of the matter, which is the Word of God. Now listen, we all know the Ten Commandments. Most of us know, I'm sure, I hope we know most of them. Anyway, you may not know them in order, but we got a general idea of the Ten Commandments. You know, thou shalt not steal, kill, you know, all those things right there. Those things play a crucial role because those are God's standards and moral law. Honestly, you can take the Ten Commandments and convict anybody. I don't care who they are, anywhere. You can honestly take the Ten Commandments and get those out there and can get a hold of people because honestly, people have to know they're a sinner. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many knows that? We all know that. Say that to a sinner, what does he do? Oh, cool. They're not going to say nothing again. Why? Because, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that John 3:16, listen, it's the center of the Scriptures as far as I'm concerned. It's everything. But to a lost man, it's a verse. Why? Because he's not been convicted yet. Listen, I'm old-fashioned enough, and I believe in this Scripture enough to believe with all my heart there has to be a conviction before a man's going to turn any way. There has to be some kind of conviction in their life. There has to be. A man has to realize he's lost and undone before a holy God, before he can ever appreciate the grace of God and the goodness of God. The goodness of God then leads to repentance. I hope you're starting to see a little something here. You can talk about the goodness of God, and you can talk about the love of God till you're blue in your face to somebody, but until they see that they're a sinner, without God and without hope, they're not going to be born again. It takes that. That's why it's so important for us to understand the pattern that we have to when we're talking to somebody about the Lord. If you say, oh, you want to be saved, they say, yeah, and you repeat a little sinner's prayer, and then going about your business saying, hey, they got saved. Did they? Did they really? Listen to what I'm fixing to say. Have y'all ever heard of Russian roulette? Some have. Some are younger, may not understand. Russian roulette is something where they take a pistol with six shots supposed to be in it, they'd put one in it, and they'd rotate the cylinder and pull the trigger, not knowing for sure which one was going to hit. Listen to me. If we're not cautious when we're talking to this is important here. When we're talking to people about the salvation of their souls and about eternity, to not bring out the laws of God, the Word of God, that they get convicted and realize that God sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross. If we don't get to the point where we're getting to their conscience and they understand they're lost, and we just talk about the goodness and nothing else, it's like playing Russian roulette with their eternal soul. You never know when they're going to hit. Honestly, we need to get our facts straight. Honestly, church, as the fellow was talking about the whole Word of God, we need to get our facts straight, especially when it comes to salvation. Listen, statistics say, now, I listen to statistics, and it depends on where they come from, but they say probably at least 50% of professing church members are lost. I've heard as high as 75%. Now, I don't know. I don't know who's saved here and who's not. But if you think about that, when you come into Bethel Sunday morning and you look and you see the sea of people and you're thinking, I wonder how many people here are really not saved. They've made some kind of profession. Never was any real conviction. They may have got stirred emotionally somehow or another and just kind of came to an altar crying for some reason or another and really never was convicted, but they was trying to appease somebody else and didn't really want to look different. I'm telling you, this is crucial. It really is. This is a crucial matter to the church. Because I'm telling you, I'm really telling you, our churches are weak in a lot of places, and the reason being, a lot of folks are just not saved in the churches. I mean, really not born again. Listen, when the Holy Ghost of God has convicted a person, and he surrendered to that, realizing he was lost and a sinner in the eyes of a holy God, and realizing the state of who they are, listen, if they realize that and beg God to forgive them and realize that Jesus Christ paid their sin debt and they become truly born again, they're not going to act like a lot of people act in the house of God. Say, oh me, oh me. Amen. But those are some things we just kind of get a hold of now. I'm trying to get settled in here. I've been flying around a little bit trying to land here because I kind of get excited and jump around a lot of times. But listen to this. D.L. Moody, a lot of us have heard of great D.L. Moody, great evangelist. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people were saved by his preaching, through his preaching. Old time evangelist. He said, now listen real close to this. He said, it is a great mistake to give a man who has not been convicted of sin certain passages that were never meant for him. Think about that. I'm going to read that again. It is a great mistake to give a man who has not been convicted of sin certain passages that were never meant for him. Now listen, the law is what he needs. This is what D.L. Moody was saying. Do not offer the consolation of the gospel until he sees and knows he is guilty before God, we must give, now listen, we must give enough of the law to take away all self-righteousness. And he says, I pity the man who preaches only one side of the truth, always the gospel and never the law. I thought, my God, what an awesome quote that was from D.L. Moody. Great preacher, great evangelist. I mean, thousands of folks were saved. Thousands of folks were saved in his preaching. And he would just read a letter. And thousands of folks would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he brought forth sin and judgment. I'm telling you, turn the TV on and you just have to turn it back off because it's sickening what's going on out there. Honestly, I'll never forget. I used to preach in the prisons over in Henderson County. For about 8 years I preached over there. And we'd have to go through our little orientation deals, you know, to make sure you was all right and you understood. And I'll never forget the director told me one time, she says, "You, when you preach, you can only preach the love of God. You can't preach judgment, sin." I said, okay. Of course, that went in one ear and out the other, you know, because I stayed there for 8 years. Several folks were saved, but the thing of it is, that's all people really want. That are not saved, they don't want to hear about judgment. They really don't. They don't want to hear about sin. But truly, how are you going to know about the goodness of God unless you know what He saved you from? I like to have one of them Holy Ghost running fits this morning. I was grinding and sharpening a knife this morning. I got to thinking about this message and thinking about the goodness of God and thinking about being born again. And I got to thinking about I don't have to go to hell because I've been saved. And I know what the goodness of God is. I understand that. But a lost man doesn't. Church, listen to me. It's so vitally important we get it right. All eternity in somebody's life is hanging in the very balance because we're not thorough enough when we witness and when we try to talk to somebody about their salvation. So I'm not trying to get on nobody. I just want us to understand how important it is us to know. If we're saved, it's a commandment for us to instruct those. It really is. If they ask us about the hope we have, according to Scripture, we're supposed to be able to tell them. But so many are not. Really? So many are not. Preacher, you need to... The preacher may be tied up at the hospital. Oh, deacon, he may be over here tied up at McDonald's. Mowing the grass or going to the hospital or helping somebody. What about you? What if one of your family members come up to you, one of your children or your grandchildren came up to you and said, what do I need to do to be saved, Grandpa, Grandma, Mom and Dad? What do I need to do? Oh gosh, what am I going to do? Call a preacher? No. You need to understand. You need to understand. I don't care who they are, what age they are, who they may be, the first place you have to take them is to their sin right in front of their very eyes. It's the truth. It may not be popular preaching in a lot of places, but that's okay with me. We have to realize, as a lost person, we have to realize that we're a sinner. So anyway, let's move on just a little bit more. Let's turn over to Romans chapter number 7. I'll show you a little scripture here to kind of back some of this up just a little bit. Romans chapter 7, we're going to turn to two or three different places, but I want to look at this one. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Now he's been talking to the Romans and the Jews about this and, you know, trying to get them to understand we don't live under the law. I don't live under Moses' law. I'm under grace. But notice what he says here. For what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. God forbid. The law's not sin. No. Now look here. Look real close. Nay, I had not known sin. Now look really, really close to this scripture. You need to mark this one down and put a stamp beside it, underline it, highlight it, remember it, whatever you need to do. But I want you to look what he says here. I had not known sin, but by the law... I had not known sin, but by the law, is what he says. I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. You see what I'm saying? You see how important it is to get God's Word out there and the truth? Not just some general something either. Listen, we got a bad habit of doing something general. We really do, to skirt a confrontation or to skirt, you know, not talking one-on-one with somebody. I mean, you say, well, I might offend them. Well, that's what the gospel does. Jesus said, I come to separate. He said, I come with the sword. To separate the lost and the saved. That's what He's going to do. We got to understand, well, I might offend them. I'd rather offend them with the truth of the gospel. I'd rather offend them with the truth of the gospel than them spend eternity in hell. You think about that. What's worse? You losing a little bit of your pride as a child of God and going up to a lost person and them might get a little aggravated at you or mad at you because you told them the truth in love? Concerned for their soul? Sometimes we got to lay some things down. Sometimes we got to maybe lay some relationships to side just a little bit and realize our job as Christians, our job as saints of God, our job as born-again believers is to witness to the lost. And listen, if Matt here was my cousin or my brother or whoever or somebody I worked with and had a relationship with him and God opened the door, say I'd been planting a few seeds or putting some gospel tracts out or some this brother here been putting some gospel tracts out or something like that. And Matt had picked one up and he come to me with a few questions and started running around trying to get away from sin. It's your job and my job to bring him right back to it. And say, this is just the way it is, Matt.
That's right.
If you were to look at God's holy law, His Ten Commandments, how many have you failed? You may not have killed anybody. You may not have, you know, committed adultery, but you may have lusted somewhere along the way. And Jesus said, if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart with her. So you're not going to get, I don't care who you are, you're not going to get around God's commandments.
Amen.
Because they show us our need.
Amen.
That's the goodness of God here in just a minute. God's Word and His law shows us our need. Now I take that and tell Him and realize, listen, by your own confession here, you're an adulterer and a liar and a thief and everything else. And if God was to judge you, what would He give you? He'd give you hell, wouldn't He? If God was to judge him, He'd give him hell. You don't want that, do you? You know how you get out of that, don't you? Let me tell you how you get out of that. Let me tell you how you get out of that. The goodness of God provided a cross.
Amen.
There's where the goodness of God is. Amen? That's where the goodness of God is. He's provided a way. But first, church, listen. But first, you have to take them to where their sin is ever before them. They got to realize their sin. Excuse me. Alright. So we see right there, Paul said, I do not know lust except for the law. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3 right quick and we will try to get you out of here by 9:30. Darren said, I had all night. Somebody's saying, cut him off back there in the corner right now. Galatians chapter 3. So we kind of start seeing just a little bit. Paul was talking to the Romans there. You're just as bad as them. But he did lay out, you're inexcusable, you need the truth. There's judgment and goodness. We saw what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 about the law. It showed him his sin. It showed him his sin. Now look here. Galatians chapter number 3, verse 24 says, wherefore the law... I hear a few pages still turning. We're going to hang on till you get there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And look, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And look real close. To bring us unto Christ. You think about that. You think about the verse in Romans chapter 7 I just told you about what Paul said. He said, I knew not lust till I seen the law. I knew nothing about it till I saw the law said, do not covet. Therefore, he knew his sin. Well, it's a schoolmaster. It's a teacher to show us Jesus. D.L. Moody also said this. Now listen, The law can only chase a man to Calvary and no further. Think about that. The law of God that Paul saw in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, he saw lust. He saw it through the Ten Commandments that thou shalt not covet. He saw that. It was teaching him as a schoolmaster to point him to Christ. That's what the law does. We can't ever do without the law. I mean, honestly, we have to preach it all. Because the law brings forth conviction to show us the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the salvation He provided on Calvary. The law points us in that direction. Because we must see our sins. We must understand we're not going to heaven without Jesus Christ as our Savior. So see, it's so important when you, listen to me, when you're witnessing to somebody and you're talking to somebody and they're trying to go every way but the way you want them to go, you're just going to have to grit your teeth, paw you out a spot right in front of them and tell them it's your sin. Remember the Ten Commandments, tell them, and it'll expose it. That's the whole thing right there. A lot of times we're afraid to expose it. Honestly, you think about it. Just as I was talking to Matt and told him about that, yeah, when they realize that they have sinned against God's holy law, something clicks in their mind. Intellectually, they say, well, man, boy, I have, hadn't I? Then the Holy Ghost of God does His work.
Amen.
Really? That's when the Holy Ghost takes over and shows them. You see the process? It's got to work that way. Okay? Let me move a little farther here. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, let me finish out two or three verses here. He says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's the only way we can. The law convicts us through the grace of Jesus Christ and me believing in Jesus and trusting in Him. That's the whole thing. Anybody can believe. I believe there was a George Washington. Many people believe in a Jesus. Many people believe in a Savior. But not so many truly trust that He's taken their sins away.
Amen.
They believe, but they don't truly trust. That's what you call being born again. Okay? He says right here, verse 25, but after that faith has come, now look, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under His schoolmaster. The law brought us to Christ. After I've been born again and I'm standing in the grace of God, I'm not bound by it. It showed me. It pointed. It had its purpose. It showed me. It showed me Christ. But now I'm not under the schoolmaster. Are we to say that the law's done away with? No. Jesus said He come to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. Okay? Alright. Alright. Back to Romans chapter number 2. Two or three things I kind of want to comment on. There was a local church over next to where I'm from. Really bothered me. Back when I was pastoring the last church I was at, they was on me, preacher, we need to load our youth up and go over here. We need to go over to this church. Preacher, let's take the kids and go over to this church. It's at Halloween time. And I kind of knew about what was going on there. And I said, no, let's not. Well, everybody else is going, and so-and-so got saved. This church had two or three get saved. I said, well, praise the Lord. I hope they did. You'll see what I'm talking about here in just a minute. I don't want to doubt anybody's salvation. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. But I knew what was taking place. Let me tell you what was taking place. They were running. Matter of fact, last year they claimed they had 180 professions of Christ. I say hallelujah. But we're all cautious sometimes, aren't we? Let me tell you what was taking place over there. They put on a little play, a little skit. I have nothing against things. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. But during that skit, they had all the 7, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds up to like 10, 11-year-old kids sitting in during a play. All the things were taking place, all the noise, all the things like that. And what happened was, there was a man on the stage and his wife and all this stuff. And he was, of course, he was. What was that? Just the devil? You're probably about right. But during that, he was playing. What this guy did, he was acting as the father. He was acting as the father and the mother and had two or three kids. Well, he died and dropped dead of a heart attack right there. Not literally. He didn't really do it. That was part of the play. The next thing you know, there was an altar call and an urge from whoever to all the kids ranging from age 5, 6 up to 10, 11 years old. And they was using the theme like, now, if that was your daddy that died, this almost makes me mad. It really does. If this was your daddy that died and he went to heaven, don't you want to go too? What in the name of God is a 9-year-old going to do? You tell me. What is a 9-year-old going to do when that took place in front of their eyes and they're thinking about their mom and dad because they're scared anyway in this world, and they do something like that? That almost makes me mad. It is. It's false, brother. Now, we had 180 professions of faith. That bothers me. I mean, it makes me mad on one sense, but on the other sense, it about makes me want to just bust down and cry because you got a bunch of little kids running around that somebody told them they got born again tonight because they wanted to go to heaven. They made some kind of profession off of something that wasn't even biblical. You see what I'm trying to get to right here? And I was doing all this to get to this point. It's not right. It's not biblical. It's no wonder our churches are powerless. It's no wonder so many people turn from the faith. Because they never really had it to begin with. I'm not doubting nobody's salvation, but where was repentance in that? Where was conviction of their sins? Well, they were just little kids. It don't make no difference. The Bible's the Bible. If you're 80 years old or 8 years old, you're all going to come to Calvary the same way. There's going to be conviction. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Amen. It has to work that way. You can't get into the kingdom of God no other way than by that. And I tell you, that stirs me. It really bothers me when I hear all these big things going on in these plays. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with some plays and some things. Like, I'm not saying that. But to intentionally do something like that, you know what it is? It's a numbers thing. Honest, before God, it ain't nothing, ain't nothing. That's good English, ain't it? It's nothing but a numbers game. It's look what we did. It was on their newsletter, passed throughout the whole association all over Western North Carolina, that this many people came to know Christ this night during this passion play. Or it wasn't a passion play, but a play. That bothers me. I don't know about you. But listen to me, that's a pattern that's taking place everywhere. Amen? I heard of another, I read a testimony of a, I gotta have water, me and Matt is about to drive. Brother, you need some water? If you want it, you get it, wouldn't you? I read a testimony of a surfer dude, whatever you want to call him, out in California, got saved by the grace of God. Well, all his surfer buddies and the folks he hung around with, evidently he was a pretty outgoing guy because he pressured them. He said, I got something better than surfing. I got something better than surfing. It's Jesus. I got something. It's better than surfing. It's better than surfing. Man, it'll fulfill you. He'll fulfill you. Boy, you can worship. He'll fulfill you. It's better than surfing. They succumbed to all the pressure that he said, so they said, well, we'll try this Jesus. They repeated a little sinner's prayer, went to church. Within 1 month, the whole crowd was out of church. Why? There was no repentance. The conviction was not there. Honest, sin wasn't preached. It wasn't. The law of God Psalm says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We can't leave that step out.
Amen.
Say, have you been guilty, preacher, of doing that? Yes, I have. I have. I have in my days when I was learning. Worried about hurting somebody's feelings. That's over with. It ain't about feelings. Honestly, it really not. It's about facts, church. And we laugh about the surfer dude, but when we really think about it, how many times of our own life have we done something similar when we're talking to somebody? You think, really? How many times have we skirted sin and judgment and hell and telling somebody? Well, they're having a bad time in their life. A lost man out here, you know, having a bad time in their life. Say Matt was lost again. He just lost his salvation again. Say Matt was lost. And he was having it rough financially. Lost his job, lost his house. Of course, that may happen to a lot of us before this thing's over with. We'll all get a tent and move somewhere behind the church here. How's that? But anyway. Say he was having a hard time. His wife beat him. Might happen. Should happen. But say he's really down in the dumps. Not knowing what to do. And here comes the good Christian witness over here. Says, man, I know something that will fix your problems. I know you're going through hard times. And I know all these things are taking place in your life. And I know something that will help you. His name's Jesus. All you got to do is believe in Him and confess to Him. And He'll save you. Ask Him to save you. And Matt, down, depressed, and, you know, going through the valley and realizing, well, he really didn't have nowhere else to turn. And I said, okay, well, let's pray. You'll pray? Yeah. 2 minutes later, I'm going to the house. Glory to God, somebody got saved. Oh, really? I don't care what their financial situation is, what their emotional status is, how much money they got or they don't got. You come to salvation the same way.
That's right.
The law, listen, it's got to be there. The pattern is in the Word of God. For true salvation, true biblical salvation to come, there has to be repentance. The only way anybody will know about this, they got to be told. I hope y'all are starting to see something here and understand and maybe give you a little bit of courage when you're out there witnessing and understand this is what's got to take place. Instead of just hitting the high spots and trying to ease Matt over his bumps emotionally just to get him where he's not so depressed. I have, in essence, got a false convert right here. You see, it is. Honest. It is really the truth. Listen, folks, salvation is for eternity. It's not a game. It's not a numbers game. It ain't a boastful look what we've done here. Amen. It's none of that. You're playing with eternity here. Really. Really. I mean, we may have tens of million dollars in the bank. If we don't have true biblical salvation and be born again, listen, we're going to spend eternity in hell. I don't care how popular you are or who you think you really are. Unless you've been born again, unless you've been convicted of your sins and realize that you, in front of a holy God, are nothing, and you beg for mercy and forgiveness, and He tells you that there's a way, and that way through Calvary, the goodness of God leads to repentance. When a lost man realizes his sin, and he realizes that there's another way, he sees God's goodness. That just about makes me want to just about almost shout a patch right there. I mean, when you start seeing these things, and you're looking everywhere, you see it. Lord of God, what was that? Was that it again, the devil? Anyway. Listen to this. You take an old drunk, dope addict, somewhere you've met, and they're drinking their sorrows away. We've met them. Listen, before the grace of God came along my way, I was one. You take an old drunk that's going through a battle, and they're on their alcohol, they're on their dope, and we say, I got something better than that alcohol or dope. I got something. They're wanting to get off of it. They're wanting to get off of it. I've witnessed to several of them. They're wanting to get off of it. I was witness to one guy at his trailer at his house, and he had the DTs so bad, he's trying his best to get off of it. He was wanting off the alcohol. He couldn't even hear me because he was shaking. He was shaking so bad he couldn't even hear me. He said, but I want to get off this. I said, you know, and he kept just shaking. He couldn't even hear. I said, you're going to have to take your drink and calm down. He said, preacher, you've lost your mind. Call it what you want. But he calmed down just for a second. He couldn't listen to me. Say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Just get over that and let's move forward then. But the thing of it was, I could have said, now, old drunk, I got something that'll fulfill you. I got something to fulfill you. It's better than that alcohol. That void you're trying to fill up with that alcohol and that drug, I got something that'll take its place. Where's that at in the Bible? You see where I'm trying to get? I don't care if he's a drunk, the richest man in the world, 8 years old, 80 years old. But that day I still had to tell that old drunk that he was a sinner in the eyes of God. Irregardless of his drinking, irregardless of anything, you come to Calvary the same way.
Amen.
It does not change. You see what I'm trying to get at? You see when I said when I started, when I'm preaching, I'm aiming somewhere? This is where I'm aiming. I want us all, as God's children, to be able to witness to somebody. We got to know what we're doing. We really have to know what we're doing. You can't just leave it to the preachers and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and these all around. Each and every one of us that are Christians ought to know. But the pattern's the same. They got to know about their sin. They got to know there's a holy God they've sinned against. They got to understand that. It has to click in their mind and their heart. Say, preacher, are you taking out the Holy Ghost? No. We sow the seed. We show them the truth. The Holy Ghost of God takes over then. That has to work that way. Or else they ain't going to get there. True conviction won't come unless the Holy Ghost does it. The thing of it is, we've played a lot of emotions in the church world. We really. Honestly. We really have. I like emotions. I'm 99% emotions. I cry with you. I laugh with you. I'm just emotional. But salvation is biblically based, and it's a fact. Irregardless of emotions. Now, salvation, conviction, it does stir emotions. That's why we got to be very... Look here. Come here. Is everybody with me? Good. Emotions do play a part. Now, don't get me wrong. They're part of it. But the fact still remains. We have to have our facts straight. That way that emotion isn't off somewhere in some foreign land. Or, you know what I'm saying? So, hope you kind of understand that. 2 Corinthians, don't turn there, says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. It has to work that way. It has to work that way. You starting to see what I'm saying? As the old fellow said, are you picking up what I'm laying down? Because it has to work that way. And I hope you remember this. Okay? One more little... A lost man... Now listen real close. A lost man truly knowing his eternal fate... Now listen real close to this. I ain't good with words, but I did get this one down. The rest of them was quotes from somebody else. This is mine. I get to claim this. The other ones were somebody else. But listen real close. A lost man truly knowing his eternal fate, truly knowing his eternal fate, and understanding his corrupt nature, can see the goodness of God at the cross of Calvary. How can a lost man understand the love of God, the goodness of God, until he first sees his sin nature and his corrupt nature? And realizes it's because of God's mercy that he's able to come to Jesus Christ as his Savior. Amen? I'm telling you, folks, we got to get our facts straight. Church, we do. We have to get our facts straight. We got to understand what we're talking about. It's really, really, it's not that complicated. It really isn't. It really isn't that complicated. If you realize and understand that everybody has to come to the cross the same way. Rich, poor, the drunk on the street, the rich in their palaces, the poor and unlearned and the men of degree. They all have a soul and need of salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary. As the song says, I'm so glad God saves those sinners. He's got to be a sinner. He's got to know he's a sinner. Don't bypass it. If you bypass conviction, if you bypass them understanding they have sinned against the Holy God and transgressed God's holy law, if you bypass that, you know what you have? False conversion. Scary, isn't it, when you really think about it? I mean, how many times have you or you or whoever talked to somebody about the Lord and you was more playing on their emotions and the condition of their life at the present time, trying to make them better? If you get saved, your life will be better. Where's that at in the Bible? Really? You look at the apostles, the disciples, all 12 of them, the beheaded, boiled in oil, hung on the cross, all these things. I hope you're seeing what I'm trying to... Listen, I was thinking about this. Man, I want them to see it. I want them to understand this is the pattern. This is the way you have to go. And several times through the Scripture, you look through the Word of God, and it's the same way. It has to work this way. There's no deviation from it. And it's not as complicated as we make it. Just remember, you have to show that you got to take them to their sin first. You have to. Irregardless if they've got a dime or they're in prison or whatever. That's their salvation's not based on their present condition in their life. It's not. It really isn't. It's not based on how you're feeling right now or what's going on in your life, how bad or how good it is. That has nothing to do with salvation, but we bring it into that a lot of times. And if we can use that to bring them to their sin, glory to God. But we still have to bring them to their sin first. Show them God, show them the grace, and let the Holy Ghost just save them right, just good. And saturate them good. Amen. That's what we got to do. Amen. I'm done. When I get done, a lot of times I'm done. You got anything? No. He speaks to us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's hard to believe in. Let's stand. Well, and let's all bow our heads just for a minute. I'm going to give a quick little invitation. Because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about anybody's salvation. All I know about is mine. And I've witnessed others. But as nobody's looking, everybody have your heads bowed. If you've come to salvation any other way, if you've come to salvation because you was having a bad day and somebody told you about Jesus and you said the little sinner's prayer and went on, listen, that's a dangerous thing to be played. But if you realized your sin and your sin nature and realized there was a holy God, and you begged forgiveness and asked Him to save you, and something happened in your life and stirred you, chances are there's some good things happening in your life. You can see the grace of God. You can understand the goodness of God at Calvary. That's where His love's at right there. Brother Darren's preaching this. I read over in the Scriptures Sunday night about the goodness of God and about Calvary. And I praise God for that, because that's where it's at. When we realize, honestly, when we realize that we're a sinner, and then we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, man, I tell you, that's where the difference is all at. Maybe a Christian here. Maybe you've not been that faithful witness that you want to be. You really want to be that faithful witness. You really want to be able to witness to somebody. It's up to you to get there. You can't keep waiting on the preacher. You can't keep waiting on this person or that person. You really can't. This is something you've got to do. But what I've preached here tonight gives you a good start. It gives you a good foundation to start from. It really ain't that hard. If you'll know to take them to their sin, you'll know these things. Maybe it's you. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands or anything. Not at all. You and the Lord know. If it's your desire to be able to witness, glory to God, start right here and go from there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all bow our heads in. We'll just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow, Lord, we do thank You for the truth that's in the Word of God. And Father, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to take these words and the things that were said this evening and help us all, Lord Jesus, to be that faithful witness. Help us that our minds and our hearts would be fixed upon You. Father, I pray for that. You'd help us all to be a witness for You. Lord, help us to get these things straight in our mind and our heart that we may be a witness for You. Lord, we pray You'd just open doors for us to witness. We pray You'd open doors to let us lead some lost soul to Christ. Father, we pray You'd help us to do that. Lord, we do pray for this church. God, we pray. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's here, each and every one that may be listening. Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, Lord, most of all, would stir their soul. That the Holy Ghost of God would just grab a hold of their heart, convict us as a church, convict us as children of God, convict us to want more of You, and convict us, Lord, to reach the lost. Father, I pray You'd help us to do that. We thank You, Lord, for all You've done. Your brother Dan and all of them as they're traveling this week, Father, we pray You touch them, give them traveling grace and mercy, Lord. Help them to have a good time wherever they're at, Father, we pray, and help them, Lord, to be able to witness to the lost while we're there. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon our life. And most of all, we thank You, Lord God, for the goodness of God and the cross of Calvary. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for all You've done. In Jesus' name, amen.